We're sitting here with Jack Phillips at Clarkson College in Potsdam, New York. Jack is a former Yankee, former Pittsburgh Pirate, former Detroit Tiger, and now a baseball coach at Clarkson. And Jack has been telling me about his pre-Yankee days and the minor leagues and working up to his signing a pro contract. Okay, Jack.
Well, Ren, I came to Clarkson only because it was a school where another boy was playing football here at Clarkson, and he told their coach, the baseball coach, Hank Hodge, who was also just a football coach, about me, and I've been hitting a few home runs and playing baseball down outside Buffalo, New York, and at that time, college boys, there was only two divisions. It was university division and college division. And an athletic grant and aids were of the word in those days. And nowadays you have three divisions, so that Division III schools, which we are here at Clarkson now, were Division I hockey, we give athletic grant and aids. But in Division B, in Division II, then they can also give some athletic grant name. In Division III, there's no such thing as athletic grant name, so this is a situation where in those days we could get it, and it was of help then as it is now. But anyway, he told Hank Hodge about me. Hank was interested and had me come up to Watertown, where he was running a summer baseball club, and it's called the Watertown Collegians. And the Collegians were made up of boys that the Yankees were interested in that were still in college. And that was the reason that I met Mr. Hodge, and my father took me up to Watertown, and he met Mr. Hodge, and Hank told my father that they'd like to have him come to Clarkson. And my father thought, well, he'd like the way Hank talked, and he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, my boy will be up to Clarkson in September. He says, but in the meantime, he says, I just graduated from high school that spring, and he says, I'll give him enough money to stay here for 2 weeks, and when he's out of money, well, you can ship him back home to me in Buffalo. He'll hitchhike home, he said, but you see him at Clarkson. Well, as it so happened, there wasn't an opening on the ball club at that time, so I stayed there, and I worked out with the club. Here's Emerson Roser, Frankie Shea, all these boys on the club, and boys from Georgetown, ex-pro ball players. And I just didn't think much of it because I wanted to play, and I'd get dressed, I'd get in uniform, I'd take hitting practice, I'd take infield practice, I'd go through all the routine, then I'd have to get dressed and go set up in the stands. But I was learning something about baseball and being around this type of baseball, and we played all exhibition games against the Tar Yankees, the Homestead Grays, the Baltimore Elites, the Mohawk Giants, and things of that nature. So that some of those fellows that played at that time, like Chief Davis and Satchel Paige, or all of those clubs that later on were in pro ball, and played against there also. But anyway, I stay here for 2 weeks, I'm all right out of money, and I'm ready to hitchhike home, and that night, I was getting ready to leave, and Dutch Bushell, who played pro ball, and was a difficult boy. And I was just getting ready to leave when he's away from home. I said, I gotta go home, I'm out of dough. He said, I'll take care of your room tonight at YMCA, 50 cents a night. So he said, I'll take care of that. And so I stayed that night. The first baseman, Ray Easton, breaks his arm, and I stayed for the rest of the year. And I came up to Clarkson, and I signed a contract with the Yankees. And in that ball club, Emerson Roser signed with the Yankees. Frankie Shea signed with the Yankees, and I signed with the Yankees. And in those days, you could do things that you can't now, like if you have to draft them. In those days, the scouts come up and live with you for a week or two at a time, and you end up in a...
you take the best offer.
You take the best offer, and in those days, it was okay for you to take a little money as a bonus at the end when you got out of college, if you desired to go to college. Mm-hmm. Maybe get so much, and then you would sign a pro contract, which you couldn't sign before that. But it was an option type of deal. And so anyway, on that ball club, like I mentioned, that I ended up on, that when I became a freshman at Clarkson that year, was Frankie Shea and Steve Roser. Steve and I went to spring training in 44 together. And then I was drafted into the Navy. And then when I got out of the Navy in 47, my Frankie Shea and I went together with the first.
Did the Yankees have the spring training camp in St. Petersburg then?
No. In 1944, you couldn't go over
to the Navy. Oh, yes, I know. That's right. Yeah. I was stationed at Fort Dix at the time, and the Dodgers and Giants played there. And I remember the war years you couldn't go.
We had our spring training. Yankee had spring training in '44 at Atlantic City. And when the weather was good and you couldn't get outside, we worked inside the Armory. And that year also, we played the Brooklyn Dodgers exhibition game in Trenton. In Trenton, we played in the Pacific. We played at Fairmount. We played the Giants up in
Lake Hurst, I think.
Yeah. New Jersey. Yeah. You know what went below the Mason? We played the Athletic down in Frederick, Maryland. And but anyway. That was the year that Emerson and I were together, and then in 47 I signed my first contract, then Emerson was sold, and then of course Frankie had the real good year with the Yankees in 47, and we won two ball games in the World Series and tried to go another one, but couldn't make it that, and that was a 7-game series against the Dodgers that year. But I've always thought that this Mr. Hodge, Hank Hodge, hit put more boys into the Yankee organization in pro ball than any college at that time around. That included Issa.
This was a bit unusual for Hartson. Is a small college, let's face it. It's not too well known, and sometimes the better known colleges, like today, we're going to get at this a little bit later, but if you're from Southern California, Arizona State, North Carolina, and a few others, it's pretty easy to get recognition because they challenge each other for the championship each year. And a small college, I think that you have to be just a little bit better in order to get recognized.
Well, this is true. Now, see, Ithaca College in Lemoyne are two of your better schools in New York State. In fact, they're the two best schools in New York State as far as that's concerned. As far as NCAA recognition and ECAC recognition comes, that end up out in the World Series, College World Series.
Uh-huh.
Or they go into the Eastern Regional practice every year. And Ithaca College is in our conference. See, in our conference, we have RIT, we have RPI, we have Ithaca, we have Hobart, St. Lawrence, Alfred, all schools of similar, and it was for scheduling practical purposes that we became the Independent Athletic College Association that we are.
Okay,
Jack. They just eat us up. They annually, practically, have won the baseball championship every year that they've been in. Mm-hmm.
Let's just jump to your minor league days and just give us a description of the various teams that you came up with and played with on your way to the Yankees.
Well, like I say, by coming to Clarkson and playing summer ball, instead of not going to college and going right into professional ball, by playing that summer ball, which at that time we had class D, C, B, A, double A, and major leagues, no triple A, I felt that, and my father felt, that a college education was a must to a certain extent. Pro ball can come after your education, but during the summer, by playing the ball, type of ball, that caliber of ball that I had been playing, and was going to get an opportunity to play, it saved me a couple years in the minor leagues, because I got a good, it's the same experience in playing against such teams as the Homestead Reds, the Florida Yankees, the Baltimore League, the Brooklyn Wild Giants, and the Mohawk Giants, and teams of that nature, all exhibition games, I'm playing against major leaguers at that time, and getting experience playing with good ball and learning baseball the Yankee way. Now, you can say I'm not a Yankee lover. I was traded by them, but I do respect and know why they were winners for so many years, because they taught you how to play ball, and you went to the big leagues. You were in demand to a certain extent. They were going to get rid of you because of the way that you had been taught to play ball. To me, there's winning and there's losing baseball.
Yeah. Now, on your way to the Yankees, you went through the Newark door, as most did, and there were some great Newark teams, I know. How was the Newark team that you played on?
Well, I'll start with one fellow by the name of Yogi Berra. Yogi and I both came together in 43 in Norfolk, which was a Class B team in the Piedmont League. And Durham, North Carolina's Rex Byrne was a pitcher down in that league. There was a lot of ball players that graduated from that league. Hamner was shortstop at Richmond, which was in the recruitment league at that time. Pittsburgh and all those teams. And then in 44, after the year at Norfolk, we ended up winning the playoffs. We didn't win the pennant. We were out of it was a 16 league. And we were out of first place, out of fourth place, rather, the playoff berth. We were out of there by at least 18 games. And we won 30 out of our last 32 games we won to go into the playoffs, and we won the playoffs. And that was a big thrill because we came out with $46.65 a piece for winning the playoffs. But anyway, Yogi and I both in there. 1944, we're in the war. I had been in the war. A lot of the boys were gone. And I had been in college and was deferred. And I went to spring training with the Yankees in 44 to Atlantic City. And during the spring training, now the Navy came up and they got me. And I spent my last 30 days before I went right into the service with the Yankees and come back to New York City. And then, with 2 days left to go, they sent me to Newark, and then I went into the service. But then I was with the team in 46 when I got back out of the service. I reported to Newark, and a club like that was Frankie Shea, Vic Rashi. The club was all the Yankee ball players, and Yogi was there. We had Joe Collins was there. Bobby Brown, Dr. Bobby Brown was there. We were loaded with Sherm Lawler. We had a quite a ball club. And then we finished off that year, and we ended up in the playoffs against Montreal. And we finished in the fourth spot that year. Montreal won the pennant, and it was Jackie Robinson's first year in the professional ball. And we got beat in the playoffs. And then in 47, I go to spring training with the Yankees, my first spring training with the Yankees.
Now, 47 was your first year on the Yankee club.
Yeah.
And being a young ball player, I know that this was a dream probably of every ball player. No matter what club he played on, he probably looked forward to being a Yankee in those days. Now, I don't know whether that's true now or not, but I would say that probably many of them, the ultimate would be to play with the Yankees. Now here you are, your first year in the major leagues, and wind up in the World Series.
Well, I tell you, actually, Ren, from the time I first knew what a baseball was, and my father handed it to me and wanted me to throw it to him, I dreamed of being a big league ball. My father dreamed of my being a big league ball. And of course, in those days, radio was your access, and I used to listen to a lot of ball games, but I played ball from morning till night, and with that dream in mind, and it finally so happened that I met the right people along the way, like Dave Codd, like my high school coach was an ex-pro ball player and principal in baseball, of course. My father was in a man of boys team. So all along the line, I ran into people that helped me and brought along, and it just so happened that here you are. Yeah, this is true. Here I am in the Yankee Stadium, my first time ever with the big league ball club, and I dreamed of being there, and then here I am. I'm involved. I come up during the middle of the year from Newark, and from the stars like DiMaggio, Rizzuto, Stern Life, Yogi, his first year there also, Tommy Hendrick, King Hong Kong, my God, these are people that I used to follow in the paper was in the minor leagues only for the short years. When you're in the minor leagues, here's what you do, Ren. You go and you look. I was at Norfolk, which was a fast B league. I would immediately grab the papers and see how that first baseman was doing up in Binghamton, which was a class A league, because that's the guy I figured I had to get behind. So now we go to spring training. And that's exactly what spring training with the Yankees was like. It was almost like a Navy cow line.
Yeah.
Because they were stacked up.
And there was a big guy that a lot of fellows don't associate with the Yankees. They think more of the Cardinals and the Giants. But they had a big guy there named Johnny Mize to contend with.
Johnny came along afterwards, and you know, that's one of the reasons, Ren, I think that the Yankees were so successful, besides their farm system. They every year that George Weiss was a pretty shrewd man, and before him was a Barrows. They got a knack of knowing what that club needed, and the clubs that weren't going anywhere as far as the pennant race net were concerned, and with the big salary, and some of the clubs that the AFL was picked up in July and August were big salary people, and they would make a trade, and there would be, like you say, they had the Mayans.
And later on, they got Johnny Hop, I think, and they were forever doing this. And I don't know, maybe you can tell me. There's just something about the pinstripes that brings out the just a little extra effort or a little more in a guy. I don't know.
Well, you see, now that George Steinbrenner has started the AFL Alumni Association, which he started back about 6-7 years ago, he tried to bring back the tradition and the respect to the pinstripes that they lost from 64 on. They had trouble winning. They didn't have the regime going like they had previously had going, and they were on the downturn. And this is when minor league baseball had also started taking a downturn, so that in the draft rules of baseball were changed, and the scouting systems were changed, everything had changed. And he started the Yankee Alumni Association to try to get that tradition and that spirit and that respect and that feeling and that pride back. And the pride of the Yankees, which was Lou Gehrig, and which was a tremendous picture. All these things, and when you were a Yankee, and this is what I felt from the time that I agreed to be a Yankee, and after I was even gone from the Yankees, I still respected it and still had it. There's something about putting those pinstripes on. Mm-hmm. And just watching, if you're a ball player, you're a great fan, such as you are. And listen, the first ball game I saw in Yankee Stadium, and when I got out of the Navy, I went over and saw Bob Cutler pitch a no-hit, no-run game against the Yankees. I saw Bill Bevins, who pitched the Yankees, show a two-hitter that same ball game. One was a top ball down third base, and the other one was a home run by Haynes, the catcher, and he got beat 1-0, threw a two-hitter, and Bob Cutler threw a no-hitter. And just walking into that stadium was a thrill. And I think everybody...
It was a thrill for me, the first time, the first Major League ball game I ever saw was a World Series game.
Uh-huh.
And it was in Yankee Stadium, and I caught a Greyhound bus as a kid, and saved my money, and I went to the World Series, had no ticket. Was up at Yankee Stadium at 6 o'clock in the morning waiting for the gate to open so I could get a bleacher seat. But to give you a little bit of rest now, Jack, you touched on something that about being a Yankee was a little bit different. And I'm living in Florida now, so I have the advantage of hearing a lot of stories and so forth. And I remember Harry Walker, when he was managing Pittsburgh, there were a bunch of reporters around him down there at Winter Haven, Florida, and they were asking a lot of questions about today's ball player. This is when they started growing sideburns and mustaches, a little bit. And Harry said, "Well, I'll tell you, we're still, when we travel," he says, "we have blazers, and they wear a white shirt and tie, gray pants, and a blue blazer with Pirates over the." And he says, they don't like it, but he says, as long as I'm here, that's what they're going to wear. He said, I tell you, it made a difference when he was with the Yankees. And a lot of people don't associate him with the Yankees, but he saw this himself, and he related an incident. He said, I don't know what city it was, but it was a rainout day, and there was fellas were sitting around the lobby, the hotel. And this was in the Joe McCarthy days.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe McCarthy came through, and there was a rookie there, and he was slouched down in his chair, and he had his feet kind of stuck out in the aisle. And Joe McCarthy walked by him and just kicked him right in the shin. And he said, if you're tired, go to your room and take a nap. Remember, you're a Yankee now. And that was being a Yankee. You weren't just a Yankee between the white lines, as they say. You're a Yankee 24 hours a day.
You brought up the name of McCarthy, Marsh Joe. Buffalo McCarthy. And I lived outside of Buffalo and I knew Marsh Joe, but I never knew him personally until I got to spring training in 1944. And at that time, like I mentioned, we were down at Atlantic City, and I had needed to be a shortstop. I was a shortstop and a pitcher in high school. Then in 1937, I went to a Rochester Cardinal tryout camp. Cardinal camp held by Branch Rickey in Rochester, and my father drove me down every day of a week-long camp. And at that camp, Branch Rickey saw me, and I was a shortstop and a pitcher for him in high school, in Okeechobee. He saw me and he said, give that boy a first baseman. In fact, you know, Branch Rickey, you read of, he was God in baseball because he started the farm system of baseball. Mm-hmm. My father and I would sit during lunch period, we'd sit in the stands and we'd have a sandwich. And Branch Rickey was in the stands that day and I didn't even recognize him. Anyway, here's the story. He sat there and he came over and introduced himself to my father and me, and he started telling me my whole baseball history. And I'm 15, 16 years old at the time. And he's telling me about my large hand and about the way I threw the ball, and he said, I'll tell you, I'm going to get you a first baseman glove. He said, when you go down, he says, you tell him that you're a first baseman. From that time on, and I finished the camp there. Now we're on our way back out onto the field after lunch, that where he spoke with me, and some kids, a shortstop said, hey, you know who's here today? Maybe who's here? Branch Rickey, the farm system father of the St. Louis Cardinals. And under, I just got done talking to that man right there. And he told me, so from then on, I went back to high school, and they told me to come back and see the Cardinals when I got out of high school, which I never did, because I'm a great guy in the Yankee organization. And that's where I went to be a first baseman. Well, anyway, in Atlantic City, I'm playing shortstop, I'm playing third base, I'm in the outfield, I'm playing first base. McCarthy was playing me all over because there was a lot of holes to fill that had been vacated by the major leaguers that were in the service. And so they wanted to take pictures for the paper. So Mr. McCarthy, it was always Mr. McCarthy too, Marister Joe and Mr. McCarthy, and he likewise respected you and your name and everything. And he was first class, and that's why the Yankees had always had that reputation. So I came over to Joe and I said, Mr. McCarthy, what am I supposed to get anyway? An outfielder, an infielder, a shortstop, a first baseman? He looked at me and he says, well, young man, he said, you might not be any of those. He said, but I'll find out. He said, if you are, that's what you'll be. He said, whatever I say you will be. And I said, no, this is for a picture. He said, well, I haven't taken them at the mall. He said, because you're allowed to be the mall. But this is the way he ran his discipline in the ball club. And the Yankees, at that time, were still the ball club. When we went into a hotel, whether it was during the season or spring training, you wore a coat and tie and you ate in the dining room of the best hotels in the city that you stayed in. And all you did was sign your name. You had a feeling of, not superiority, but a feeling of pride, and it was the pride that you portrayed by handling yourself. And they didn't want you to get in hamburger joints and saving a few dollars on meal money. They get you to do whatever you wanted to do, whatever you wanted to sign your name. Likewise, he would be the first off the train to see his team get off the train. He would be the first on the train to see his team get on the train. In the same way in the clubhouse, the same way in the hotel. And that's why that story that you just told about, he also told me about I was going to go right into the Navy, and he gave me that speech about it. I had a fingertip raincoat that I got out of college with, and we were at spring training right in the city, and when it was cold and wet down there, I had to have something to wear. So I'm already in the Navy, so I'm not going to buy any more clothes, so winter clothes. Now, I wore that raincoat only when I needed to, when it was cold. To get back to New York City for the City Series just before the season opened up with the Dodgers and the Giants, we're staying in the Commodore Hotel in New York City. I'm down in the lobby of the hotel and at Lee Manor and Oscar Grimes and all the fellows were there during those days. Joe McCarthy slides up beside me and says, hey, Jeff, I said, yes, Mr. McCarthy. He says, don't let me catch you running around this hotel and shit like that. Wait for you. He says, you're in the big league. I think you're a Yankee. He would hit you with a point that you wanted to get across, and then he'd make a joke out of it, leave you standing there, but you got the message. And this is the thing, they were the last team to go to sports shows. The last team to take and get meal money and different things like that.
The last team, even yet, of course, I've sort of abandoned the Yankees as far as the traditional Yankees are concerned because, I shouldn't say that. I think the Yankees left me. I didn't leave the Yankees because their policies seemed to change in the more recent years. But they still hang on to traditional. They don't have the names on the back of the uniforms and a few things like that. I think that, Jack, that we could probably talk all day about the Yankees, but we gotta, let's move on to the Pirates now. You went from the Yankees to the Pirates.
I had hurt my arm. Detroit was after me, and there was a lot of Boston that were after me. And the Yankees, in those days, you could be optioned out three years. And at the end of the third year, you could be in the Yankee organization down in the Class B ball club. And you could spend 2 years there, and then the third year, they either had to bring you up to a class C league, and then you could be there two more years, and in the third year, they'd have to bring you up one more next. You could be in the Yankee organization in either 9 to 10 years, never get the first training with the Yankees. But anyway, in 47, they optioned me out because they didn't want to lose Steve Souza. In 48, it was a similar thing. They sent me out to Kansas City, which was a Yankee farm system, as a shortstop. On that ball club was Bauer, Mapes, Krahowski, the first baseman. Also, Al Rosen, the third baseman, was on loan from Cleveland, playing at Kansas City. They sent me out to play shortstop, and they had got the name of Zoom, it was already established. But anyway, I was out there, and then I came back, and in 49, I was the first baseman, and I hurt myself in Washington. And I was hitting 308. I played 45 games up until when I hurt myself. DiMaggio was just starting to play center field. We were 5.5 games in first place. I'm counting World Series. I'm counting raise and pay the following year. I'm counting a lot of things. And here we are in first place, and I'm just getting ready to play. I pulled a deltoid muscle in my arm, my left arm. But I still wasn't right. But anyway, they had gotten waivers on me in the American League to send me out to get my arm in shape. And in the meantime, they hooked up the deal. Roy Haney is now general manager of the Pittsburgh Ball Club. Roy Haney was also a big man in the Yankee organization for years. So he's looking for Yankee Ball Club as well. They just decided that Pittsburgh would like to have me. They had gotten waivers on me, which was $25,000 a waiver price, and they just all waivers, just waivered me out to get an arm in shape. Now, in the meantime, they sell me those Pittsburgh for $50,000, $50,000. Then the following year, Johnny Hopp came from the Pirates over to the Yankees, which is another one of those better series to the Yankees, the quarter Pirates. But that was, I got to Pittsburgh, and over there, Buddy Myers, who had managed me at Newark, he was managing the Pirates, and I got over there and started splitting the position with George Mitchell. Now, the platoon system of baseball had been started in 1949 by Casey Stengel. I was having a spring training like we never had before, 428 on hitting, I figured I got the job all by myself on the first base. The sports writer's challenged Dick Krahowski, who had played first base at Kansas City the year before. They challenged him to give him this bit of chance. And he was from New Jersey, and he could swing that bat pretty good, left-handed hitter. Left-handed throw. I was a right-handed hitter and a right-handed throw. So we were alternating, and gave him a shot in spring training, and they couldn't get him out. So Casey said, well, I'll show you for the team.
I noticed that. I followed
that.
He
did that with Bauer and me. He did that with Woodman and Mendel. He started the whole patrol system of baseball, and this is where I got over to Pittsburgh then, and I went over there at the end of 49. This was in August 6th that I was sold over there in 49. And my arm was still not right. I finished out the year playing for state, and then in 50, I went to spring training and was doing well, but I had another fellow there by the name of Metkovich that I was spending the job with and alternating. And then in 1951, they had a guy there by the name of Al Kiner, who's a pretty good friend of mine. Now, here I am, Grant Griffey, now, had come from the Dodger organization. He left the Cardinals, went to the Dodgers, built up their farm system. Now he's with the Pirates as general manager, and he moved over there, and he brought this whole front office staff and everything. Here's Mr. Rickey with the Pirates now. And now he's got this guy, Turner. He's got an outfielder in the minor leagues, and he figured he's going to hit 300 for big league. So he brings him up, And he moved Kiner, and he wants me to teach Kiner how to play first base. He's a guy that's making, that job in Pittsburgh was worth, the first base job was worth $75,000. I taught Kiner how to play first base, and he was making $70,000, and I was making $5,000 in the same position. But anyway, he was there for a while, and this is where the two sisters sit in. I was with Pittsburgh. And then in 51 and 52, why they started bringing in boys like Bobby Delgado, Tony Barone from the side, big side ballers, which the Yankees always took the side, other than the two or a few people. Now Pittsburgh has gone in and they signed the Brian Vins, they signed Groves, they signed a lot of fellows that were not that they turned. So then in 1952, I go out to Hollywood with Pacific Coast League. And I was out there for 3 years. I was in the battle playing 54 and so back.
Excuse me just a minute. Yeah. Now, before we leave Pittsburgh, Joe Gargiola tells a lot of stories about the Pittsburgh team. It never was a contender during those years. They and he used to tell about the headaches that they gave Billy Meyer. Of course, not many people knew about Joe Gargiola at that time. Now he's a household word, but Joe was on the same team with you, isn't that right, Jack?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Joe tells about a story about two or three men wound up on third base or something like that. Now whether or not Joe's stories are all authentic, I don't know. He likes to tell them anyway. But you had Elroy Face there, didn't you, at that time?
No, Elroy came a year after I had left.
Came an Elroy.
But Joe Garagiola and I roomed together the last year in 52 when I was shipped out to Hollywood Pacific Coast League. Joe did, he's a very human, a very likable guy. He was a good
ball. Yeah, not and a bad, Joe makes himself out.
But he takes pride in being on that team and it added a lot of color to his broadcasting because he had first-hand information. The only thing that I used to get a little teed off about was that Joe made fun of his fellows and some of the teams, and some of the things he said were true. But it's still a little hard to take the ridicule. Like, one of the stories he told, and this everybody has questioned me about, he had me in left field, which for the Pirates, I did pitch some ball. I pitched against the Boston Braves.
That was my next question about your pitching.
And I had played first base. I played second base a couple of games. I played shortstop a game or two. I played third base and I played some outfield. But Joe failed to realize that he was a part of that ball being as bad as it was. And he tried to tell you about it the way he told. And some of the things he did over race. So one of the stories he had was that I was supposed to have been an outfielder, a left fielder. He uses my name. Because Joe and I were we were always battling back and forth. He had good wit, and I took pride in my being able to come up with that answer back if I had to. And he told the story, I think it was when they had the pregame going on of the game of the day, he started announcing the game of the day, and he was telling about the summer with the Pirates and things like that. And he said, we had a problem in left field. He said, good name of Phillips. He said, and he started to cut the ball in the first bounce of the run out. I take for granted my friend in that. But a lot of the stories he did tell were quite true. Like you were mentioning about the Pirates. We did. We had that type of ball club. But Johnny Smith, I never forget, Chicago was in town. We were getting ready for the game. We were taking batting practice. And we just got done with batting practice. It's okay, clubhouse meeting. So Johnny Smith was in Chicago. Now, everybody out of Chicago in an 18 league to see who's going to finish last. And Smith says, what are you guys going to? A clubhouse meeting. He said, what are you going to do? Decide who's going to finish last? I'll show you. And he was pitching that night. But the Pirates were with me, Britton, and Billy Mars was a good manager. Now, I'll say this to you, Ren. When you have an off game and you're in the big leagues, and you have to practice to hit and run, things are a little sad, aren't they? That's what I'm talking about.
Being in an organization that's taking care of in spring
break. That's taken care of down in the minor league.
Yeah.
Also, when you have fellows, when you're setting in a bench, like I say, when I went over to Altoona, and things like that, and you have fellows sitting on the bench And when something would bad would happen in air on the field, or there was a locker man, or something would come up, there would be another guy sitting there second guessing every move that was made on the team. Now, these guys must realize that those other fellows were sitting on the bench and they were out there in the field. Well, how do you know play baseball with the team and security? But you have a man on second base and nobody else. Runs your sport, right? Okay, even if you couldn't hold him with our pitching staff, if you still had a chance of one or two runs ahead, then you take him out of the ballgame so they get a big inning where they can get into the ballgame by running or sacrificing or stay tight. And if you're a homer on the road, and a fellow with a man on second base would pull the ball to left field, try to drive the run in, then the next man would pop up, and the next man would fly out, and then here's the man on second base and nobody out yet. Now, years ago, I learned the president in this way. But the man on second base, you gave yourself up without the man to third base to let the next guy drive in. Mm-hmm. It was just, the reason you lose is you cause it yourself. You play the game in my book.
Yeah.
And this is why we just couldn't get enough fellows together to worry about. And of course, this is just the start of the $5,000 minimum in the big league. We started our players association at that time, and the minimum was $5,000. Now, there were a lot of guys that were worried about Turner making all the money that he made this year, because after the seventh inning in that ballpark, 32,000 for a shield held. And Turner would come to bat the last time in the game, if we were beat, or otherwise, that the stands would immediately clear out and there would be nothing left in the ballpark.
Yeah.
That's all he had was Turner. But at the same time, like they say, Pittsburgh was a good baseball town, and then they sent out specific posters. But what Joe said about the Pirates, to a certain extent, was there's a lot of humor and a lot of truth in some of it.
Well, I'll tell you about this one. The pitching experience. You're listed in the baseball and baseball opinion among the pitchers.
Well, yes.
And I'd like to hear about that.
When Bash Rickey chased me to a first baseman in 1937, now this is 1950 when he comes from the Dodgers over to run the Pirates, and I'm with the Pirates. When he comes to Buffalo, which is my hometown outside of Buffalo, Maryland, here. And he came to be on the dais of a big charity, Easter school, I think, or something, it's a charity dais to speak. So he called all the fellows, Stan Rhodes, at the shortstop on the ball club, was from Bob Panorama. So we went in to see him and talk to him at just a personal interview. And here is Mr. Rickey in town, wants to have his picture taken with me. No pictures, this is just a conference, a role, a salary talk, no nothing. Wouldn't do Jack any good to have his picture taken with me. Wouldn't do me any good to have my picture taken with Jack. He was sort of a funny man. But anyway, he is now in Pittsburgh, and he says, I went to Mr. Rickey, and when they sent me out to Hollywood, they sent me out as a picture. But while I was there, Billy Murray was still there. Gone through 13 pitches in 2 days against the Boston Braves. The Boston Braves. And we a bunch of sore arms. When you're losing, those arms aren't healthy and strong right there. And no one wants to go out there and get their brains beat out. It looks like that's what they're worrying about. And I don't throw a lot of batting practice. But I threw all the time and throw one hitting contest because I was right down the pipe and I had a good arm. I wasn't that bad a pitcher. Anyway, We got nobody left, and here we are, we're behind in the ball game, 10 runs, and Billy Myers knew that I had pitched some before, and that, so we talked about this off and on. I had pitched exhibition games. I did the Western International League in exhibition wins. I did the American League in exhibition wins. I lost this exhibition game, but never got to. Well, anyway, here comes the ball game, and we're getting beat badly. And Billy looked at me, I was on the bench, and I looked at him, and he said, what is it? I said, okay, if I went down there, warmed up, and I came in the fourth inning of the ball game. Now, in that Boston baseball club was Walter Cooper, who was a pretty good realist. Also, there was a guy by the name of Gordon at third base. There was Sidney Sisti at shortstop.
Sid Gordon, huh?
Pardon?
Sid Gordon?
Sid Gordon, another, yeah, uh-huh. And Sidney Sisti at shortstop, and they had another fellow on that ball club by the name of Tommy Blount. They had a pretty good ball club. But we did a little bit. Well, anyway, I got in the ball game, and I struck out Walter Cooper and Sid Gordon back on back. I didn't do badly. And Bucky Walters was their coach. And after the ball game, Buckethead made the transition from a third baseman to a pitcher himself in the Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And after the game, he came up and congratulated me. He said, hey, big guy, he says, I think you've got a pretty good chance to play right here in the big leagues and make him a pretty good pitcher. He says, I made the move. He said, you remind me of me an awful lot. He said, I don't see why you can't talk to him. Well, I'm big upset now. So for the next, here comes the Giants. I'm in the bullpen now for the next 2 nights. And we get in a ball game, and we're 1-1 behind, and it's in the bottom of the ninth inning, and we got a man on second base, Brandon Warren up in the bullpen, and all of a sudden, the big sign comes to the tall guy to come out of the bullpen. I'm already moving, so they come in, and they bring in Dave Cosgrove, which are leading. So, left-handed pitcher. So I pitch it. And I scored the run for second, driving the run for second base and half the ball game. Now I go to the bench and grab my glove after they get us out the inning, to start the 10th inning. And they said, no, Jack, we got another fellow we're going to put in now. So that was the end of my pitching career. And then now I went back to first base and I was alternating again. Now here comes Mr. Hickey in spring training again. And this is where I went east and over there. And now I went to Hollywood. And the year that was 52 when I was sent to Hollywood, in spring training, he started using me as a pitcher. Mm-hmm. In spring training. That was the year he also had Dale Long, a left-handed catcher. Mitch Rickey was going to change him into a left-handed catcher. Oh. In fact, Dale Long had a left-handed catcher's glove. Mr. Rickey had a catcher's glove made for Dale Long. And here's Dale, a good arm and a big guy, and he's got a left-handed catcher because he's so left-handed. You had, against the pitchers. A lot of left-handed hitters against right-handed pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have no batter to throw by the majority of the time because there was no left-handed hitters, no left-handed hitters, and they were playing at the two baseball. But anyway, now Dale Long is sold just at the end of spring training, and he's sold from the Pirates to the St. Louis Browns. Mr. Rickey wouldn't let him take that catcher's glove with him. He wanted him to buy that left-handed catcher's glove, but they wanted to take it with him to go over to it's unbelievable. But anyway, this is the story on how I got involved and how I was traded and sent out of Pittsburgh and ended up out of Hollywood.
A lot of ball players that you don't associate with pitching that pitch. I did a little research on this for my own amusement. Ted Williams pitched in the major leagues, and he likes to brag about striking out New York. Stan Hughes, of course, Stan started out as a pitcher anyway in the minors. I'm trying to think of some others, but there are quite a few that you don't normally think of as pitchers, but did pitch. Well, Rocky Calavito, of course, did and didn't do badly.
Bob Leonard was a third baseman in the Navy.
In the Canadian American League organization. Yeah.
And they changed him into a pitcher because he was one of the better pitchers. But he was another fellow from the Chicago Cubs outfielder. He's doing his 50 right now. But they made him in from the outfield for him because he had a good arm and he could get a ball.
Well, let's move on now to Detroit.
Okay, I was all-star. We won the pennant in 52 in Hollywood. We won the pennant in 52 in Hollywood. In 54, we tied for the pennant with San Diego. In 52, I was all-star. Infielder, outfielder. In fact, they created a spot on the